Hi, this is Kirk, and today I'm going to be reading from Isaiah, the first chapter, starting with verse 1. But first, a little introduction to this book. Isaiah is a prophet to Judah. The kingdoms have split, and 10 of the tribes of Israel have separated themselves from the tribe of Judah. And the tribe of Judah was the tribe of King David's and King Solomon. And there was supposed to be somebody sitting from their lineage on the throne, was the promise. Well, because of Solomon's sin, the kingdom was split in two. And by God's design, 10 of the kingdoms, 10 of the tribes, went off into a separate kingdom called the Children of Israel, who later became the Samaritans, and only 2 tribes were left to be governed by Solomon's descendants, and they were the tribe of Judah, which Solomon and David were members of, and then the tribe of Benjamin stayed with them. All the rest separated themselves and were governed by their own kings. So here Isaiah is a prophet to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And there were prophets that spoke for the children of Israel, the other 10 kingdoms, but this one, Isaiah, was speaking to Judah. And there's a lot of warnings going on. And I think they're apropos for our time here on earth. And he starts out in Isaiah chapter 1. And the chapter heading in my Bible says, "The Rebellion of God's People." The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. "Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand." And then he says, "Alas, sinful nation," he calls them, the people of Judah, God's people. He says, "Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. Where will you be stricken again? As you continue in your rebellion." They were hit many times in discipline from the Lord. And he says, where will you be struck again? And he goes on. He says, "The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds. Not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Your land is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It is desolation as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a watchman's hut in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom. We would be like Gomorrah. Now remember, the Lord rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, and there was no one left, and it was all burned up. But here he said that the Lord had left a few survivors. So he goes on. And the chapter and the heading here says, God has had enough. And he says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the widow. Plead. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Now, in their worship system, they would make sacrifices. They would shed the blood of rams and goats. They had a whole system of things that they did to entreat God's favor. They spread out their hands to pray. They bowed down. They had all of these things that they did, which they thought by doing those things that God would be pleased with them. They went to, we could look at this today. What do we do today that we think makes God pleased with us? Not that God doesn't want us to do those things, but the problem with these people, and it holds true for all of humanity through all of time, the same things happen over and over again, is they would do these rituals, but that's all they were. And they expected that God was pleased with them because they performed these things, but their hearts had evil in them, and they did not. So they practiced circumcision, the cutting off of flesh, but what God wanted them to do is circumcise their hearts and cutting the flesh off of their hearts to have holy hearts, so that the things we would do are done out of actual love, God's love, not our love for the things that we want, but God's love for the doing of His commands. Commands are good, but they don't have power to make us right. If it says, do this, and you do that because you want to look good to other people, or you want to gain good things in this world, we're doing it for worldly reasons. And we're fearing people. We're not fearing God. We're not doing just because we love being close to God, because we love His heart in us, and because we want to live by God's own heart, His own love in us. We try to make ourselves look as if we do have God's heart in us, so that other people will respect us, so that other people will listen to us. This is a grievous sin before the Lord. You see, when we do that, He says, I'm tired of your offerings to me. Who required of you this trampling of my courts? He says, bring your worthless offerings no longer. Later on, He will say, you do these things, but your hearts are far from me. Another place He'll say, talk about fasting. You fast for this and for that, but is it for my love that you fast? Aren't you fasting to get things for yourself or to make things go easy for yourself? It talks about what love really looks like. In Corinthians, he talks about that love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. I don't know how many times I've been guilty of this. Someone does something, especially someone I regard as close to me, and they do something and it hurts. And I think about that and anger starts building up in me, how they've hurt me. See, my focus is on myself, how they've hurt me. But what God says, what Jesus commanded us to do, is say, yeah, they hurt me. But I'm going to give back to them good. I'm going to love them, even though they just slapped my face. Even though, think of the martyrs, even though they've threatened to kill me, or maybe have killed me, or my friends. What are we supposed to do back by the commandments of God? Is to love them in return. That's really difficult. In fact, it's impossible. It's impossible for the heart of man to do. But what is impossible for the heart of man to do is possible with God, because all things are possible with God. But how do we escape this sinful tendency in ourselves? We must put our man of sin to death under the waters of baptism, directed by the Holy Spirit. Because it is only by the Spirit of God taking hold of the Word of God in us that we will have the power to fulfill the righteousness of faith. We have to know Scripture and use Scripture to put our man of sin to death that goes against Scripture. And it's the Holy Spirit who empowers the Word of God in us to do so. You see, if the Word of God is like a stone and the Holy Spirit is life, if we put these together, we have living stones. You could also think of them as arrows flying. When something moves, that's the sign that it's alive. If stones are being thrown with the power of the Holy Spirit, they're living stones. And we put to death the man of flesh in us, we repeat to ourselves in our hearts and in our minds and even with our mouth the Word of God that says we're not supposed to do that. And we repeat it with all of our heart. Like David, when he took the stone out of his pouch and put it in the sling, and he wound up with all of his might and let that stone fly, he did it with all of his heart. If we're going to put sin to death in us, this is the way it must be done. If we use all of our heart in doing what God tells us to do because we love Him, and any fear we have is because we're afraid of getting out of the presence of God. We don't want to lose being in that center of God's heart. See, that's the presence of God. Being in the center of God's heart and what He wants to do by His Holy Spirit, that's the presence of God. And it can be felt. And I don't like it when I get off into my own thinking that gets mad over something, over what somebody else is doing, and I can't. And as I start to get angry about that, I might console myself that, well, this is the anger of the Lord. Yeah, no, it isn't. The anger of the Lord I use to defeat my own sin. When someone else sins against me, I return a blessing instead. I'm not the Holy Spirit in them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. If someone is not listening to the Holy Spirit, I used to get angry. Now I found that all it does is ruin my own spirit and cuts me off from experiencing God's love and the power of His Holy Spirit. I must return a blessing, because I do not want to get out of the presence of the Holy God and do things out of my own flesh. I must look at each circumstance, thank God for it, and present the Holy Spirit with all the power of His love and strength and might, and bless whoever is coming at me. That's the preaching of the gospel. That's the good news. See, the good news flies in the face of the one who's trying to bring evil news to us, who's trying to hurt us, We return the bad news. I'm saying this figuratively, for when people are trying to hurt us, it's like they're speaking with their actions bad news to us. Well, the good news is that we don't have to come under that, because even if they kill us, we will return good to them by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And we will not relent. I will not allow any evil thoughts in me that tries to hurt them back. For that's the way of the man of sin. That's what God is looking for in us. That's why we get the opportunities to bless people when they spitefully use us, or when they bring evil upon us, is so that we can bring a blessing back to them and show the world what God is really like, because there's no other way to show what God is like except by having opportunities like that. And people will wonder, how can they act like that? And we can tell them, it's not because of my love. It's not because I'm good, but because the Lord in me is my goodness. He is my righteousness, and I have no other hope except by this good news, that God in me, Christ in me, is my hope of glory. That must be the message we bring to the world. It's a hard one to learn, though, isn't it? It's a hard one to learn. And each of us have our own trials that we're going through, giving us the opportunity to learn that and to be the righteous ones on earth. And right now, my thoughts are, when Jesus comes back, the dead in Christ, and then those who remain will rise up to meet him in the air. But at that point, before that, when he first comes and is in the air, only believers will see him and will rise up to him. But then, all the heavens above us in the clouds, the believers are the body of Christ. If we are the body of Christ and we are spread out in the whole, all of the heavens, what are people going to see? They're going to see us, Jesus' body. Every eye will see him because of the believers that are spread out over all of the heavens. And then we will return. We will return to the earth to rule it with a rod of iron, because all those who are left are unbelievers who would not worship God. We'll be coming back. What we are when we rise up to meet him, whatever we've brought into submission to the Christ, the Holy Spirit, that will remain. Whatever we have not submitted to Him in our hearts and minds, whatever parts of our minds have not been renewed by the Holy Spirit, not just what I think the Word of God says, but what the Holy Spirit brings life to life in me, that will remain, and that's what I will be. I don't want to suffer loss of my personhood. I want my entire being to be molded into His image by the Holy Spirit. Because unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And many, the church for the past 2,000 years, ever since the apostles left, went into a sharp decline. People relied on their own understanding to try to figure out Scripture. And the church went down, 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 down into utter darkness. There have been reformers, one here and one there, bringing it by steps out of that darkness, but there's still darkness. We have not come into the fullness of the glorious light because people, the men of God, still relied on their own understanding, leaned on, man has leaned on his own understanding to try to make sense of God's Word. It's too wonderful for the mind of man. It's infinite in nature. I had to come to a place where I had to throw everything I thought down before the Lord and say, God, I don't know Jack. I don't know anything. Please, I'm going to read your Word. Please, build it in me by your Spirit. And I just would read it and just expect Him to give me understanding. And He did. He promises to do that. I do not want you to listen to me. And if I am making sense to you, I don't want you to believe it just because it makes sense to you. I want you to learn. I want everyone, including myself, to learn more and more to wait for the Holy Spirit to make me sure something is true. Not just because it makes sense to my little brain. What do I know? I'm not God. I don't care who somebody calls themselves. The only one who's God is God. And the only one who can make sense of the Word of God is the Spirit of God. Because no one knows the thoughts of God but the Spirit of God. And so, I ask you to listen to what I say. If you sense the Holy Spirit bringing revelation and truth in you, then let it have its work in you. If you're uncertain, then hold it before God and don't believe it until God makes you certain. Not just your own mind thinking that it can research this and figure it out. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And my hope is that everyone would be linked to the Holy Spirit. And doing so, we will become one body. Because we'll be throwing down all of our own little pet beliefs, all of our little pet doctrines, all of the things that divide us. All of doctrine is important. People say that, we find unity when we just get together on the important things. Well, all of doctrine is important. That's why it's so important to throw it all down before the Lord, like Moses threw his staff that he leaned on down before the Lord. Don't worry. You're not going to... You see, unless you lose it, you'll never really have it. Unless you loose it and throw it down from you and let God build it, it's a building of man. This is how God wants to bring the church into unity. Because if we all truly, truly will quit trusting in our own little brains, that's humanism. Trusting in our ability to figure out God's word is ruining it. It's humanism. But if we all quit trusting in our own little brains, or whatever teacher you're following, I don't care who it is, listen to what the person has to say. Hold it before God, and let God give you judgment so you can judge with righteousness. Because God alone is righteous, and He alone is the righteous judge. He alone is the only wise God. This, throwing it down before the Lord, waiting for the Lord to give it life, will make the whole body of Christ one. Because it'll be the Lord doing it. We won't say, well, what are you? Well, I'm a Lutheran. Oh, what are you? I'm a Presbyterian. Well, what are you? I'm of Saul. I'm of Paul. I'm of Peter. I'm of whoever. I'm of Apollos. I'm a charismatic. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a this. I'm a that. Where is the one body in all that? We're all divided. And it's all important. It's all important enough to throw down before the Lord and let Him build us. And in so doing, He will make us beautiful, into the beautiful bride. I'm afraid we're an ugly old wrinkly hag right now. Every limb is out of joint. We're not fit together as one bride. We're separated, wrinkly. We're wounded. Our wounds aren't even pressed out. No wine, no oil on them for healing. It's going to take the Word of God and the Holy Spirit together to make us one beautiful bride of Christ with no spot nor wrinkle. That's what I want to be. I want God to take all of my... I want Him to correct me and correct me and to correct me. And that's wisdom. For the wise man, if you correct a wise man, he will love you for it. If you correct a fool, he will hate you for it. Even though he may say he loves you, may say thank you, but in his heart, you don't hear from him again, because he didn't really love you. Let's go on with Isaiah here. He says, bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. That's incense in the New Testament and in the Book of Revelation and the prophets is a picture of prayers, the prayers of the saints, the prayers of God's people. Incense, our prayers are an abomination to Him. If our hearts aren't right, if we have bitterness and jealousy and anger at people instead of our own fleshly ways, then our prayers are abomination to Him. And our Sabbaths, our assemblies, He says, I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly together. As I hate your festivals, your new moon festivals, that was one of their festivals, a new moon festival and their appointed feasts, they have become a burden to me. You know, what do we have? The birth of Christ, we have Easter, Pentecost, and probably, depending on what denomination you're in, have other ones. He says, if we have had unrighteousness in us, if we have not loved our brethren in actuality by tearing down the divisions between us, by throwing our hearts down before the Lord so that He can build us, make us into one body, then we have iniquity in us. Our prayers and our assembling together and it calls them appointed feasts here, but our other holidays, holy days, He says He's weary of bearing them. And He says in verse 15, Isaiah 1, so when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan and plead for the widow. And this is where God calls us to reason with Him. I've actually heard someone say it's the only place we're supposed to reason with God. That's just nonsense. God calls us to reason with Him all the time, but we need to listen to His reason, right? We bring our thoughts to Him, but we wait for Him to give us an answer. So He says, come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If, see now this word, if, it means these things have to happen if we want our sins to be as white as snow. They will be like white as snow, our sins, though they are red, will be like wool, if you consent and obey. Then you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We think because we have prayed a prayer and maybe go to church and pray and do what we think is good stuff, that we won't be devoured by the sword. But our hearts, we have to fill our hearts with the love of God. That's the only way we can do good, because God alone is good. We have to overcome the evil in our own hearts. That's the evil that we overcome. And we overcome that evil in our own hearts with the only one who is good. That's God's heart. we fill our hearts, our desire for good, we fill that with the Lord Himself. For He is the only one who is good. Then we can refuse to do evil. We can turn our foot from doing evil and doing good. But if we will not do that, and if we refuse His counsel and rebel and say, I'm doing just fine, thank you. I don't need to change anything. It's those people who have to change and those people who have to change. No. We can't change other people. The only one we can change is ourselves. We use all of our disciplinary measures for our own hearts. When we've disciplined our own hearts and brought ourselves into unity with the Spirit of God, then the sword will not devour us. Verse 21. Now he's talking to Judah. He's talking to Jerusalem. And we can liken this to the church of God now. You might consider that there are some churches who are more like the children of Israel who actually worshipped demons. Then there's the church of Judah. Well, the city of Judah, or the city of Jerusalem in Judah, that worshipped God but didn't do it with their whole hearts. They were actually doing what they thought was best. This could be like churches today, which don't really subject themselves totally to the Word and to the Holy Spirit together. But I must look at myself more than anyone else, because I have to take the log out of my own eye before I can help others to see the specks that are in their eyes. And then I can show them the difference by living the difference. I don't have to try to beat them over the head with the Word of God. But I can live the difference with my heart and return good when people are doing evil to me. But this isn't the case of what was going on back then. And it's not the case, I find, mostly in the church today. Even though we pat ourselves on the back and say, oh yes, we're really good. But yet we're divided. We're not one body. Because everybody believes something different. Why? Because we haven't entrusted ourselves to the Holy Spirit to make us one. We've held on to our own little beliefs and not allowed the Holy Spirit to say, yeah, that's rubbish, that what you believe right there. It's kind of full of humanistic leaven. So here he's talking to the people in Jerusalem, the people of God, and it's a picture of us. And it says, how the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your drink diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe. And chases after rewards. That's done in the church, not just in the world. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. Therefore the Lord God of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, declares, Ah, I will be relieved of my adversaries and avenge myself on my foes. I will also turn my hand against you, and will smelt away your dross as with lye. That purifying soap that's acidic, I just use some to pour down the drain to clear the clogged drain I had the other day. That's what lye does. It says, I will smelt away your dross as with lye, and will remove all your alloy. Then I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. After that you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. Zion will be redeemed with justice, and her repentant ones with righteousness. It's in the nature of man to always point the finger at the other people out there who are doing righteousness, but not looking at our own unrighteousness. Even though they may be more unrighteous than we are, you see, we have the light, and God requires more of us than them. So even though the world is full of evil, they don't know any better, do they? They're not Christians. How could they? But we, who have the light of truth in us, and then turn back at the world and are angry at them for what they're doing to us. But you see, we're supposed to be returning good for evil. And God requires more of us than them. So we should be rejoicing when they abuse us. Because God is refining us as with fire. And we should be thanking God and returning a blessing to them. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, and that's what trusting and obeying looks like. Zion will be redeemed with justice, and her repentant ones with righteousness. See, it's not talking about the world here, it's talking about the people of God. But transgressors and sinners will be crushed together. See, now the sinners are all those out there who don't know any better. But the transgressors are the ones who know what truth is and still are not practicing it. That's the church, who knows better, but transgress the covenant. The covenant we made with Christ to die to ourselves and to live for Christ. We who remain transgressors, even though we knew better, but continued in it because we were angry at how they treated us, we will be crushed together with the sinners of the world. That's what this is saying. And those who forsake the Lord will come to an end. Surely you will be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired. You see, the world has all these riches, and when we desire what they have, well, we should have that. Those riches that they have held on to are idols. That's what the oaks are it's talking about here. Wooden idols. We've desired their wooden idols. Surely you will be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired, and you will be embarrassed at the gardens which you have chosen. How we lavish ourselves with all the good things and ignore the people who need them. This is probably mostly true for us in America. For you will be like an oak whose leaf fades away, or as a garden that has no water. The strong man will become tinder, which you burn on the fire. His work also a spark. Thus they shall both burn together, and there will be none to quench them. This is a strong word for us who may be coming to the end of the age. We need to repent and turn to God with all of our heart. But there's a good word. If we repent and do the works that God requires of us, chapter 2 says, "Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and will be raised above the hills, and the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples, and they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war.'" If we want to be that beautiful mountain of the Lord, if we want to be that beautiful house of the Lord, and if we want to bring as much to it as we can, so we don't suffer loss on that day, then we will want to be corrected as much as possible before that day comes. It's like a house. If you've ever gone and bought a house that needs work, they call it a fixer-upper. I think we're all fixer-uppers, and we need a lot of work. Lord, fix me up. Tear out the parts that are bad in me and rebuild. But don't just paint over all the bad stuff. It's got to be cut out. And it's going to hurt, but don't be afraid of the hurt, because you can handle it. God will give you the strength to bear up under the pain of the sledgehammer as it knocks down that wall in you that's wrong, or cut out the cancer in you that's about to kill you. God will give us the strength to cut out that which needs to be cut out so we can become his beautiful bride, shining in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. A light shines best in the darkness. You don't have to have eagles around to fly like an eagle. An eagle doesn't need other eagles to fly like an eagle. He flies like an eagle, even if he works with turkeys. Even if his closest companions are turkeys, he can still fly like an eagle because he flies on the winds of God's love. And others will want to become eagles when they see us soaring up high alone on the winds of God's love. I bless everyone. And Lord, this is a strong word for me. It's not for others. It's for me. And I want to tend to it with all of my heart. And I want to bring myself in subjection to it with all of my heart. And my whole house, my household, I want to lead with tenderness. I want to lead my lambs. I have one lamb in my house, that's my wife. And I want to lead her with tenderness and care, speaking tenderly to her, but firmly. Lord, help me to lead us in prayer and in your word and to doing your righteousness and to giving up seeking after the things of the world and seeking wholeheartedly for you. Help me to be a leader that you can smile over. Thank you, Lord. I bless you, and I praise you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Is the person who's going to be taking over the next hour there? Thank you.
Blessing for us having you. God bless you. As you prayed, God hear your prayer, and He answers always. He answers. So God bless you as you pray. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you too today.
Amen. Amen. Salam, salam, ketusan, lainu lainu lachu, yegita salam, yegita lachu, yegita lachu, bet, and it koyachu, any dananin, xavi, mesken, piti danano, varin, that men, xavi, sat down, ratu, bastonin, kanan, tagaran, talam, mesken.